And that's right. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you, and a different show this week, a fun show this week. Well, they're all fun, but this one especially because, as you can see, I am not in my usual spot, which is my home studio. I am in a room. I am at the Dover International Speedway in Dover, Delaware, as they get ready for the Drydene 200 Xfinity Series race today and then the Drydene 400 Cup Series race tomorrow. So this is the first time that I have been at a racetrack in 2 years or more for race weekend. So I am really, really excited about it. Thank you to the fine folks here at Dover Motorsports for having me. And as you know, Dover is, they are the owners of the Nashville Super Speedway. So their race, the Ally 400, that weekend coming up June 18th, 19th, and 20th. So they were nice enough to have me here this weekend, and got a lot of fun stuff on tap as race weekend gets closer in Nashville. Mike Titoyan, who is the president of Dover Motorsports, is going to join us in just a few minutes. We'll talk to some other folks as well. But let's jump right into things, because if you've been keeping up, and make sure you are subscribing to the podcast, Chasing Checkers, search that. You can go to chasingcheckersradio.com. TheGameNashville.com houses all of our content as well. And been doing some post-race shows because Martin Truex Jr. dominated at Darlington for throwback weekend and the Goodyear 400. 248 laps led at the track Too Tough to Tame. And he just continues to show that he truly is one of the top contenders in the Cup Series this year. We're seeing Martin Truex Jr. return to form kind of like he had a few years ago when he won his championship, and even when he was just making the championship four. Remember the big three? He certainly is showing that he belongs in the category, because he's the only one with multiple wins this year. He has three on the year. So is even though Denny Hamlin is leading the way points wise, is Martin Truex Jr. starting to show that, you know, maybe he's the favorite because he's closing the deal, he's winning, and that ultimately is what it's all about. Hamlin has been consistent, take nothing away from his season so far, but Truex has been a lot of fun to watch. We saw this new package, our new setup for Darlington, I should say, with the low downforce. They had higher horsepower, lower downforce. And I enjoyed the racing. I don't know about you. Would love to hear your thoughts at Chase_Checkers on Twitter on what you thought about the setup there. But that type of package is good for Martin Truex Jr. He loves it. And he talked about that after the race.
Love low downforce. That's all I'm going to say. I love it. You know, I feel like, you know, especially this year, we, you know, all three races we won been with this package. So obviously, you know, guys and girls at JGR are doing a great job. But I just, you know, for me, you look at 16, 17, 18, low downforce. I mean, you know, we very well could have won all three championships. You know, we were right there in all three and won a lot of races. So big fan of this kind of racing, really enjoy it. You know, today was a heck of a challenge. I did come on the radio one time and say, I'm really surprised at just how slow it feels and how slick it is. I mean, I was leading and driving away from the field, and I'm like, this thing is sliding everywhere. It's pretty amazing just how much this track changes year to year. Every time we come back, it gets more difficult with the you know, the wear of the pavement. And I would say that, you know, we probably have less downforce now than we've ever had here, you know, because I think some of the rules that have changed since 17 or 18, whatever, we've probably got less downforce than we had then, even with, you know, building new cars and working on them to get better and better and better. Really, really just a fun day, a big challenge. And, you know, just got to give it up to my guys for giving me a great car and doing all the little things right.
There you go. Martin Truex Jr. on the low downforce package. I mean, like he said, he's the three races he's won this year that has worked for him. He finds his niche, especially since he's been with in the JGR camp, and even going back to Furniture Row Racing when they were getting their cars from JGR, he's found his niche and he's made it work for him, and he's won a ton of races with that setup. So Martin Truex Jr. gets the win again, his third of the year. Kyle Larson thought he might have a chance to catch him there. And Kyle Larson has really done some good things for Hendrick Motorsports. He finished his second, another solid run from Kyle Busch in third. William Byron is fourth. Denny Hamlin, fifth. Kevin Harvick, sixth. Chase Elliott needed a good finish. Got it. Top 10. He's seventh. Ryan Blaney with another one in eighth. And Chris Buescher, who has had some good top 10s this year, he's ninth. Ryan Newman comes home 10th. So there you go. That wraps up Darlington. But some drivers that I am paying attention to that, you know, you have some obvious ones, but just that I'm looking at that you need to watch out for as the season goes on. Clearly, Martin Truex Jr. is one of them. He's won the most races of anybody with those three. I don't think his love of the low downforce tracks and his abilities on those tracks, that's not going away anytime soon. Let's start with Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin is the points leader.
Yeah, I mean,
we know the type of runs that he has had this year, but they haven't found victory lane, and that's what it's all about. It's all about finding victory lane. And Denny Hamlin said a few weeks ago that the effort's there.
Yeah, I mean, there's frustration for sure. I mean, but it doesn't change you know, my attitude or work ethic. I mean, I'm going to work just as hard to win next week and the week after that. It just, you know, you have, you're a competitor, you want to win, especially when you have great opportunity to win. But, you know, it just didn't happen. You know, just digest it and look at it and see, you know, where we could have been a little bit better. But ultimately, there's nothing I could do. My effort was as high as it could be. There's nothing, you know, that's glaring that I feel like I could or should have done different, but you know, maybe there is. I'll go back and look at it and figure it out. But you know, it just seemed like the 48, you know,
there's Denny Hamlin on the effort being there. And that was when Alex Bowman won the race. And he even said before that, that he would rather be in the position that he's in, meaning that they're having consistent runs. They're at the top of the standings, even though Bowman has the win already. I think Denny Hamlin, he's being the competitor that he is, and he's had some frustrating things happen lately. He wants to find victory lane, you know, and I feel like I say it every week. It could happen this weekend. He's pretty good at a track like this. He's got a win here, but it just hasn't come yet. And the fact that you have Truex getting better, he's Kyle Busch getting better as well. Just sticking with the Joe Gibbs camp. I mean, Christopher Bell has been solid. He's already got a win under his belt. Denny's the only JGR car that doesn't have a win, but I think we all feel like it's going to come. It's going to happen. But these other guys that are getting better as the season goes on, another driver I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, being one of them, you know, you got to watch out for that. Kyle Larson is another one. He ran second last week. He's been in position to win a couple of races, and things have happened at the end. I was in the post race and asked him, you know, with only 12 races with Hendrick Motorsports, working with Cliff Daniels, his crew chief, how has it all come together so fast?
I just think I've got a great group of people around me throughout all of Hendrick Motorsports, but especially in our five cars. So their preparation is something that is pretty awesome to see. And, you know, I feel like I'm putting in a lot of work off the track too, to get myself up to speed, you know, with no practice and things like that. And, you know, honestly, probably no practice benefits me a little bit, you know, just from, being able to adapt quickly and not giving myself an opportunity to tune ourselves out with any bad feedback. So, it's been really fun to, you know, be this good, this early on in the year. And, like I said earlier, I hope we can just continue to build on it and get better and, be the best when it comes to the final 10 races.
And I believe they will. I mean, I think Larson, you know, even though we'll get to Sunday morning, he's not the favorite this weekend, but he's close to it. And he's my favorite this weekend, just to kind of give you a hint there. I think Larson, the last time he raced here, he won. He didn't race here last year because of the suspension, but he's good here. And you just see the confidence oozing out of him right now with Hendrick Motorsports. I mentioned Truex. Truex has to be a part of the equation. He's getting better as the season goes on. But the thing that I was the most curious about, he and Cole Pern were so good together at their time at Furniture Row and then the first year at JGR. Now with James Small in his second year, I asked Martin Truex Jr., you know, what has kind of helped with that chemistry with his crew chief?
I mean, honestly, I don't really feel like anything's changed between us since, you know, since he took over the crew chief position. I think, you know, when he was our engineer, you know, we had a great relationship, and I think that's continued, obviously, you know, more interacting, you know, since he went from engineer to crew chief when Cole decided to do something else. But, you know, I think last year, James did a great job. I mean, if you look at everything, we were right there a lot of races. We had some tough luck. We had a lot of second, third place finishes, and, you know, we didn't win as many as we should have. But, you know, I feel like he's done a really great job since he stepped in. And, you know, our relationship has been great since day one. I guess if anything has changed right now this year, it's been just confidence. You know, it's his second year. He's more comfortable in position, and, you know, he's getting to go back and look at his own notes and think about, you know, the decisions he made last year to certain track, and not so much going off of somebody else's notes. And really, it's just all about having confidence in your decisions. And, you know, there's so many things. I know we talk about simulation and all the technology that goes into setting up these cars to show up at the racetrack. And, you know, with no practice these days, every weekend I ask James, I'm like, what do you think? You know, how do you feel about it? And he's like, well, if our 600 assumptions are correct, we're going to be really good. So I think just getting more comfortable in his role, getting more comfortable at making those decisions, especially at times where maybe, you know, if you weren't that good at a racetrack last time, if you have enough confidence in yourself to make some big changes, really go for it, swing for the fences. And he's been able to do that this year. That's probably one of the biggest things I've noticed about it, is the confidence. So I don't think our relationship has changed at all, really. But I think James has really stepped it up and done an even greater job this year.
Martin Truex Jr. on his crew chief, James Small. Their chemistry is, I think, is through the roof right now. Confidence is everything. Again, another driver to watch out for, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch. If I had to give you my just top five in the power rankings right now, clearly Martin Truex Jr. would be one. I'd go Kyle Larson two, Denny Hamlin three, Kevin Harvick four, Kyle Busch five. Even though Busch has the win, Harvick doesn't. He's been a little more consistent as the season has gone on. So there you go. That's kind of the drivers that I think you should be paying attention to right now. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Titoyan. He is the president of Dover Motorsports. We'll talk to him about this weekend and also the upcoming race weekend in Nashville. We'll do that next on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And welcome back to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe live at the Dover International Speedway as we get ready for the Dryden 200 a little later on today and the Dryden 400 tomorrow, the Cup Series race. And who can forget the Ally 400 weekend coming up at the Nashville Super Speedway, NASCAR's return to the Music City. Excited about that. And another individual that I know is excited about that is Mike Titoyan. He's the president of Dover International Speedway. And of course, Dover owns Nashville. Let's talk about your race weekend here. I know that the last year and a half for everybody in the industry has been weird, has been crazy, has been frustrating, but fans in the stands this weekend, still a little different, but it seems like things are inching closer and closer to normal.
Hey, thanks, Chase. Thanks for having me on, by the way. Not that I'm counting, but it's been 564 days since we had fans in the stands. So yesterday with our General Tire 125, it was kind of a weird feeling to actually see. It's been such a long time to see campers in the campgrounds and see fans on the property. I was so excited from a track promoter perspective to finally have some people in the grandstands. And so, and along with the weather and some great racing, it really is awesome to be able to kind of be in the place where we are. Like you said, we're not exactly where we want to be, but we're heading in that direction.
Gary Camp from your staff has been giving us the tour and showing us around and everything. And one thing I saw was, you know, a vaccination site. I mean, that's what we're seeing a lot of things in sports of, you know, getting people out there. That's really cool to see on the campus this weekend.
Well, I think if you look at any large facility, typically it'll have a lot of parking lot, paved area. And so we were able to take advantage of that over the last few months. And we've actually vaccinated over 75,000 Delawareans over the last couple of months. And even this weekend, today and tomorrow at the track, we're continuing vaccination. So that certainly is a key to us continuing to open up the country. So, you know, if you were to aggregate all of the other NASCAR tracks, we're probably close to 1 million vaccinations in our industry. So that's something that we're proud of, but we have the property to be able to do it.
What was it like last year? You guys did the doubleheaders. The schedule was compacted, trying to getting all the races in. And obviously you had the two, now one's coming in Nashville, but what was that like doing, I think it was what, six races in one weekend, but obviously no fans.
Yeah, we had a race on Thursday, a race on Friday, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. It was like 1500 laps. The weather was fine, but it was really bizarre. I mean, because it's kind of like preparing for a party that nobody shows up for. So we had great racing on the track, so that wasn't diminished. But to not have any fans in the stands is totally, and Predators fans and Titans, I mean, without fans, it's just totally emotionless and not a lot of energy. And even as loud as it is at a NASCAR track where the drivers can't hear the fans, but seeing them drives a lot of energy. And so we're in business for fans, and not having them here was really discouraging, to be honest.
Now that the fans are back, I have noticed in my travels around the area that there is a certain place that everybody starts at when they come to Dover International Speedway. That's Miles. First time seeing it in person. I've always wanted to see it. How cool is this monument? It's the mascot of the Dover International Speedway. He's holding Jimmy Johnson's car. The eyes light up at night. It's so cool to see people gravitate towards Miles.
Well, I'm older than you, but we used to call those like, that's the perfect Kodak moment, yeah. Right? And so what we're talking about is Miles the Monster is 46 feet tall, so almost five stories tall, and he is our icon. And we built that back, Chase, in 2008. And at the base of it, you might have seen that it indicates all of the winners that have ever raced here, and then some of our personal Monster Mile Hall of Famers that have had great success here. And so it is the epicenter of our property. It's where everybody congregates to. It's a great, from a social media perspective, everybody wants their picture taken. And it was the interesting story about that. Is it was actually built in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour and a half from here. And they built it, and then they actually sliced it seven times, put it on a semi, and reassembled it here. And it took a couple of weeks to do it. But he's a great icon. You know, we're proud of Miles the Monster. We're the 1 mile concrete. You know, we're the fastest 1 mile concrete in the world, we say. And Miles is just the guy he's the mascot who loves to eat NASCAR cars. You know, he's just a tough guy.
I remember Darrell Waltrip saying it's a self-cleaning racetrack, and it's that 24 degrees of banking that if you hit the wall, you got one way to go, and you're going to come down. So we've seen that. This track is a mile, has the high banking. We moved to Nashville, 1.3. It's been sitting there. It's reopened. I was out there a month or so ago. You were there for the tire tests. It's good to see the new paint and everything else going into it. But how excited are you all here at Dover to return to Nashville, to reopen that facility and have Cup Series racing there for the first time?
We're very excited. You know, our track here in Dover, like you said, is 1 mile, a 1 mile oval. And if to describe that for your listeners, it would be like taking a cereal bowl and kind of stretching it out just a little bit. In Nashville, it's 1.3 miles. It's concrete, which is great from the standpoint if we have inclement weather, concrete dries quicker. So that's a great asset. But from our perspective, being able to open up that track again, Eric Moses, our track president there on the team, is doing an amazing job. And it's a lot of work. You know, it's been sitting for 10 or 11 years. And so we're going to be ready Father's Day weekend. It's very excited. The NBC, our network partners are excited. The sanctioning body, all of our sponsors, we've gotten a great response from the community. And so everything is leading up to what is going to be an amazing weekend for all NASCAR fans in Middle Tennessee.
Take me back to some of those conversations, because I know when the news got out, you know, the Cup Series is coming in Nashville, and there had been so much talk about the fairgrounds and things like that. And then it's the Super Speedway. I mean, as you can imagine, all of us were like, wait, what? Really? Yeah. And some people were going, I didn't even know Dover still owned it, but you guys did. It was sitting there. The banquet came to Nashville, and that's kind of where everything started. Correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in November, early December of 2019, when we had Champions Week in Nashville, NASCAR held their awards ceremony. That's when discussions started to take place in earnest. And it really was driven by from the networks getting into new markets. NASCAR was part of those collaboration discussions. And obviously, we were part of it as well, having an existing facility, being able to get to the market quicker, having a facility that obviously had raced trucks and the Xfinity Series before. So it really, all of those things kind of came together, and it was a collaborative decision. NBC Sports was really pushing it. They're super excited. They open up their broadcast for the second half of the season with Nashville Super Speedway. So all those things kind of came together. It took us it didn't take us long to come to an agreement. But what slowed us down actually in making that announcement is when COVID hit. So at that time, when we could have made the announcement, NASCAR was scrambling just to try to salvage their 2020 season. So we delayed it a little bit and then made the announcement. It was there was some surprise, but we're excited. So, and it wasn't operating, so no one probably thought we still owned it, but it has great bones. So that was really important to us and to NASCAR, that it had great existing bones. We just need to shine those up a little bit.
And I think it's important too, that, you know, maybe what you're going to see in June, that's just the beginning. I mean, I know there are a ton of plans that you all have about, like, let's build on that. It's a 4-year agreement with NASCAR, but I know when you came on our midday show right after the announcement, it's like, hey, that's just the start. But there seems to be a very, very bright future. And you mentioned Eric Moses and his staff, that they all have to be able to have this ball of clay that they can mold into something cool.
Yeah. You know, I'm often reminded, for as someone that is responsible for trying to generate revenue for the company, that for every day a big facility like that sits empty is one less day that we're not generating any income. So, you know, from our perspective, we have it's a beautiful, Eric Moses refers to it as a campus. It's a beautiful campus. And in order for us to really take advantage of it, the NASCAR Cup Series race weekend is definitely the focal point. We wouldn't be back in Nashville if we hadn't been bringing the Cup Series back. But that is really kind of the nucleus of what I think is more to come. Here in September, we hold the largest camping music here in Dover. We hold the largest camping music festival in the country with Firefly Music Festival. So it's that kind of thinking. And I think that's what Eric brings to us. Not only his experience in sports, but also in entertainment. So really to be able to take advantage of that, of his deep-rooted knowledge and connections, to make it more than just a NASCAR track, to really make it an entertainment center.
And Nashville, already an entertainment capital, but it's becoming a racing capital too. I mean, you guys coming there, the Grand Prix, the stuff with the fairgrounds. I know that it's all about, you know, you're focused on your facility, but seeing the city become a racing town has to make somebody that's been in the industry as long as you have feel pretty good about it too.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I, you know, from the Grand Prix that's going to be held in August, I mean, that's something that I would like to see. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a great layout. And I know some of the guys that from the Grand Prix, and so, you know, it's, I can't remember the saying that high tide floats all boats or whatever it is. So the more we can get the community talking about motorsports, whether it's the IndyCar, whether it's, well, not Formula One, but anything that we can talk from a motorsports perspective, I think helps enlighten what we're trying to do out at the track.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time today. I know you got a busy morning. Excited about the race weekend. Excited to see these cars hit the high banks. But thanks for taking the time today.
Well, it's so great to have you here, Chase, and I'm glad you're kind of like on the inside of your perspective of what's going on here. And there's still some great food, so don't be afraid to go out and mix in some great food out in our fan zone. But we're going to have a great weekend, and I'm really glad that you're here, and thanks for having me on with your listeners.
Absolutely. He is Mike DeToya, and he is the president of Dover International Speedway. As their race weekend is underway, the Dryden 200 today and the Dryden 400 tomorrow, and of course, Ally 400 weekend coming up June 18th, 19th, and 20th at the Nashville Super Speedway. We'll talk a little bit more about Nashville and becoming a racing capital when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app again. If you miss any of today's show or any of our shows, just go to thegamenashville.com. You can subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers or go to chasingcheckersradio.com. Appreciate Mike Detoyen for joining the show, the president of the Dover International Speedway. We're going to talk to Gary Camp, who is kind of one of the guys behind the scenes with both tracks, and just kind of get some things, get some updates on how things are going with Nashville as well. But speaking of Nashville, I feel like when you talk about NASCAR or IndyCar, any type of racing, Nashville is coming up, and it has been over the last few years. Bob Pockrass from Fox Sports is here. He and I were talking this morning about just the future and what it looks like with Nashville. And let's start with the Super Speedway. I remember when it was built, opened in 2001. It looked like, hey, you know, this could be the way to get Cup Series racing back into the Music City. It was a different NASCAR. It was different leadership. I think that there were things that were maybe discussed, and there were handshake agreements and things, just for whatever reason, you know, the economy had a lot to do with it. It never came together to get the Cup Series out there. And, you know, as you all know, Xfinity racing is fun. Truck Series racing is fun, but you need the big daddy to really make it work. And so as Mike was saying, you know, from a financial standpoint, it just wasn't feasible. And that's why you've seen all over the country, you've seen less and less of those tracks that only host the Truck Series and only host the Xfinity Series. I think it's cool. I think it's fun to see like the trucks go to Knoxville or to Eldora. You know, back in the day, they went to South Boston, Memphis, those tracks. I like that as a true racing fan, but you know, the average fan, they want the Cup Series. They want the names that they all know. And so that's why I think this is going to be a big deal for the Nashville Super Speedway and everybody involved, to have, you know, to have that weekend, to have the full weekend, to get the TV exposure that NBC and NBC Sports Network is going to give them. But it's Nashville. Nashville is drawing them in. The Grand Prix in August, it's the same thing. People are going to come for that race weekend. And yes, they're going to be there to watch a race, but they're going to be there to see a concert. They're going to be there to sample the food. I mean, it's just the mixing the entertainment, mixing the racing all together. Everybody wants to come to Nashville. I mean, when I talk to people around the sport, hey, yeah, I'm going to be in Nashville in June, or hey, I'm going to be in Nashville in August, you know, for either race, you know, hey, yeah, I'm coming to Nashville for the banquet. Like, everybody wants to come to Nashville because there's so much to do. And I think both IndyCar and NASCAR have recognized that, and they've wanted to be there. They wanted to find a way to get there, and now they have. And I think it's going to stick. And then if you add the fairgrounds into it, I don't look at it as any type of competition. I look at it as, oh, it's just one more thing to have. You would have three different big time entities, whether it's NASCAR doing one weekend at the fairgrounds and one at the Super Speedway, and then IndyCar on the street course. I think that would be huge. That would be amazing. Plus, if you add NASCAR's banquet, they stick here. You got four weekends right there. Tony Stewart's deal with SRX, Ravenham, that's another one. They're going to run the fairgrounds in July. So I think this is all very, very, very good. Jerry Caldwell, who is the president of the Bristol Motor Speedway, was on our show last week. And I asked him, so why are you so invested in Nashville? Why are you so invested in wanting to rebuild the fairgrounds? And what is your vision? Here's what he had to say.
It's because we've seen the vision. Really, Marcus and Bruton have seen that vision from the beginning. We've been working on this for a few years now with different administrations. And all along, they've seen not only a diamond in the rough in Nashville Fairground Speedway, something that, you know, has over 100 years history in our sport of motorsports, but also in this city. And they know what they can do with the venue. They know when we put that Marcus and Bruton touch on it, and that Speedway Motorsports touch, we can really create a special venue. and then and move it from just being a racetrack, protect that history, restore it to its rightful place, but also create a venue that can be used for other things, community events, corporate events, other types of non-racing events the rest of the year.
That is Jerry Caldwell, who is the GM of the Bristol Motor Speedway, talking about their vision. Now, earlier this week, as this process moves with Nashville, with the fairgrounds, there was an open forum for people to be able to come and give their support or go, you know, say, hey, I don't support the renovation of the Speedway. And I get it. I understand. Like, if you live in that area, there is the concern. I mean, the noise is already there with what they do. So that is a big concern for a lot of the residents of just how loud racing is. And, you know, if you think about racetracks, there aren't that many that are right in the smack dab middle of a neighborhood or a city like the Fairgrounds Speedway is. I mean, you have the Nashville Super Speedway that's out in Gladeville. It's, you know, you're not worried about disturbing people. And so, I mean, you could see, you know, I've been in instances where if it rains, I mean, you run until the thing's done, you know, you get the race in. So I get all of that and I get all of the concerns, and I am not picking on anybody that has any of those concerns. But, you know, there were people that were there Tuesday night and they were adamantly against it. And they were quoting, you know, things that just simply weren't true, you know, saying that there were five NASCAR F1 ready racetracks within the area. That's simply not true. There aren't. I mean, the Super Speedway is NASCAR ready, has held IndyCar races. So that's one. But I mean, Highland Rim, no. I mean, you would have to do a lot to that. And I mean, that I couldn't begin to tell you what they were talking about. So my whole thing is, if you are against it, you have every right to be against it. And you can have your concerns and all of that. And that is fine. You're totally entitled to your opinion. But get the facts right. And be open-minded. Just like I'm open-minded to hear your concerns, be open-minded to hear people that support it and their ways to maybe help ease your concerns. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. has the Dale Jr. Download, and obviously he has been a huge supporter of this and wanting to make things happen in Nashville as a whole, whether it's the Super Speedway, the Grand Prix, the fairgrounds. I mean, he loves the city of Nashville. And he went on his podcast this week. Go check it out. Search the Dale Jr. Download. And he talked about some of the concerns that people may have. We've split this up into two parts. First is the sound and putting up sound barriers.
This is what I think is important. If I'm a resident at the track, right, and I live half a block away, Absolutely. I mean, I understand, like, if I'm sitting at home trying to watch a movie with my girl or hanging out in the yard with my kid, hearing race cars all day long is absolutely not a preference.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah. It's a legitimate complaint.
Yes.
Yep.
The thing is that this track was voted as a historical landmark, and so it's not going anywhere. And as long as it's there, guys like people like Bob Chargent and so forth are going to work with the Fair Board to continue racing super late models, pro late models, ARCA, K&N, all of those races, the All-American 400, and all those things that are happening now are going to continue to happen. And as it sits, without an agreement with Marcus, I can go over there with a race car and make all the noise I want any day of the year.
Yeah,
the track's open, free to rent, go in there and just any Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, it doesn't matter. And there's no sound barrier. There's nobody going to build a sound barrier. There's nobody going to try to do anything to mitigate any of the complaints. If you have Marcus in the picture, and he does have this control that he's looking for to bring NASCAR back, he is basically going to spend millions of dollars to build sound barriers, do everything he can from a physical standpoint to mitigate the sound that's reaching your house. That's not there, and it's not going to be there without Marcus. So, do you want sound barriers? Would you like somebody to start to build you a sound barrier tomorrow? Yes, of course you would. All right, he's the only guy that's got the money to do that.
That's Dale Earnhardt Jr. from the Dale Jr. Download, Mike Davis, his co-host, Dirty Mo Media. They do a great job. And so wanted to play that part because he does a really good job of explaining it. And there was actually an episode from about a month ago where Marcus Smith, who is the head of SMI, Speedway Motorsports Incorporated, was on and explained some of those things. Jerry Caldwell was on our show. You can go back and listen to that. So what I'm trying to do is, if you have a concern about it, I want you to listen to the show, listen to Dale's podcast, and just understand some of the facts. And if you still are against it, okay, we'll agree to disagree. I got it. But I do think that there was something there that you really should pay attention to. The racetrack's not going away. It's a historical landmark. And so if this deal happens, it is going to make things better because of the sound barriers. And we'll get to the schedule in just a second. But the track has been there since 1904 in some form. NASCAR was there first in 1959, left in 1984. So, I mean, that is certainly, you know, just going to be something that people are going to have to understand that it's there. But I think it's a good thing that Nashville has become this racing mecca, that the industry wants to be there, and you're going to see it continue to grow as the years go on. We're going to pause that conversation for a second. We're going to say hello to Gary Camp, who you're going to have to give me your official title, because I don't think I actually know your official title. I just know you're the man that gets things done behind the scenes.
Hey, Chase, it's Vice President of Marketing and Communications.
There you go, with the Dover International Speedway, but also Nashville as that whole thing starts. We talked to Mike Titoyan earlier about this race weekend, but you have not only been trying to get things ready for this race weekend, getting fans back in the facility, but also helping the folks in Nashville as they reopen that track. You were there the first time around as things, I guess, shut down. So what has this whole transition been like from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun and challenging for sure. Lots of, like I say, opportunities and challenges to make a difference there at the racetrack. And here in Dover, certainly we have our hands full getting ready. So many unknowns for the events here with COVID preparations and protocols. And then, of course, as you're seeing in the news, all the rules that we were following changed right in front of us. So, you know, just to talk the Dover events real quick, the plan that we created with the Delaware Division of Public Health to allow us to host fans here in a big way, we had to put lots of things in place that we would agree to do. That would be wearing masks. And then you see what's going on. NASCAR is changing the rules in terms of the garage mask requirements, which is fine, of course. But then the fans in the stands need to follow the protocols that we had approved by the state. So it's a funky time for sure. But, you know, I think we're at the top of the curve and we're headed downhill now. We're through the worst of this, as I think the country is starting to open up. And then even in Tennessee, it's just a different environment there where folks are more comfortable being out and about even than they are here in Delaware. So I think we'll get there. We'll certainly get there in 2022. I mean, the events that you'll experience both in Dover and Nashville will be far different in 2022 than they are this year, even, because you have to think about the planning curve and the planning window for these events. Like we essentially needed to know 2 months ago in Dover where we were going to be for today so we could plan appropriately. And we're at that same point in Nashville. We've already kind of passed it, right? We've already got to put motions and plans in motion and begin working on all the things that need to get accomplished there to be able to host fans and make a good first impression. So even what you'll see in 2021, just know that 2022 is going to be bigger and better and badder.
Which is fun because it gives some, you know, people something to look forward to. So what has the journey been like of when, you know, you find out, hey, we're doing this, we're reopening Nashville, getting people that, you know, may have been there the first time around that you were like, oh, well, you know, that was fun with just the Busch series and the truck series, but hey, we got Cup. So how have you all been kind of working behind the scenes to get people excited about Father's Day weekend?
So, you know, our team here for a long time has known that that place is a jewel, right? That it's kind of sitting there. It's a beautiful facility. It's only 20 years old. It's got so much, there's so much opportunity there to do great things. Where it's located and it's a common line that we all talk around, and Mike T probably said the same thing, that that place, as far as it is kind of away from downtown Dover, it's not that far in downtown Dover, downtown Nashville. It's not that far anymore. You know, that that area is just continues to grow. Both Wilson County and Nashville proper as a city just continues to grow towards each other. And so it's not, I think there's a lot of value in the fact that that place is maybe just a little bit outside of town, but not very far outside of town, gets you out of kind of the clutter and congestion of a downtown area anywhere, and gets you closer to that environment out there that's got a great infrastructure, road system for getting people in and out. So it's been fun. We've been making lots of trips to Nashville, and as you guys have seen and heard in the news, we've hired a great staff there. There's a lot of people on the ground that are working really hard to make sure that this event and then other events, right? The plan for that property is, while NASCAR is a focus and we know that we have to be successful with this first event, Eric and the team there are really focused on bringing additional events to that property and using it to the best of its ability to sort of become an entertainment mecca in that region.
Everybody wants to come to Nashville. That's kind of the thing, you know, growing up there, seeing this rise that it has had over the last few years, obviously with, you know, and I feel like it started with sports, with the Titans, with the Predators, all of that. So what has that been like of, you know, anybody you talk to within the industry, hey, I'm going to be in Nashville, and just thinking, how do we plan for this the first time around after not doing it for so long?
So we were in town in 2019 for the Champions Week festivities. And I think that everyone will say it. I think that really opened a lot of eyes to the opportunity there. We knew that that facility was, you know, sort of could be ready to race, to host a cup race with some work. But I think when we saw the way that the community and the industry embraced Champions Week and all of the hubbub that went with that, burnouts on Broadway and the driver appearances and just the whole atmosphere that's just, it's so great there, as you know, obviously, preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that opened eyes and started a lot of discussions about how can we get back there. And, you know, so Phil, it's unfortunate that we had to move a Dover race there, but at the end of the day, from a business perspective, it's good for our company. And it adds variety to the schedule, which people are clamoring for. We've got a lot of our race fans in Dover that I've been chatting with all weekend that already have their tickets for Nashville. And so they're all in on both properties. And there's just a lot of race fans, as you know, are bucket list fans, right? They like to bop around from track to track to track. So this just adds a new destination for them to attend. And we just want to make sure we make a good first impression, you know, just like any event you go to for the first time, your expectations are at a certain point. We want to exceed those expectations, but then we want to keep delivering on that every year, adding new things, adding more entertainment options. We were, you know, when we began this planning a long time ago, the entertainment and music and making sure that it's more than just a NASCAR race is a priority for us. Some of that is a little bit stunted by COVID, right? And what we can do, we don't want to create an environment that's not safe. And also when we began the planning and we start to hit these deadlines, we didn't know where the world would be come June 20th in Nashville. So we've got some good things planned, but we've got more things on the horizon.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And you all do a great job. This is a bucket list for me being at Dover for the first time. So excited to be here this weekend and looking forward to Nashville. Hey, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
He is Gary Camp with Dover International Speedway. We will come back, wrap things up, give you Sunday money as well here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. We are live at the Dover International Speedway for their race weekend, the Dry Dean 200 Xfinity race coming up a little later on today. We'll have all that info for you on our social media channels at Chasing_Checkers on Twitter, Chasing Checkers Radio on Facebook and Instagram, ChasingCheckersRadio.com as well. And then the Dry Dean 400 Cup Series race tomorrow. Real quick, let's wrap up the Nashville conversation, because I wanted the folks that are interested in the fairgrounds, I wanted you to hear this. This is from the Dale Jr. Download, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Mike Davis, talking about the track schedule and how it would change with SMI running things.
The other thing that he wants to do is have less track time, less cars running, less days of the year where there's cars running. And this is how he's going to do that. instead of saying it's, you know, it's a free for all. Hey, I got a car. I want to come run and I need to practice. He's going to really narrow it down to only select days of the year where if you've got a pro late model, super late model, whatever street stock, I don't care. These are the only days of the year that are available to come test your car. Hmm. All right. The short track programs will continue as far as those big races, All-American 400, ARCA, and all those things. But all that stuff gets narrowed up into specific moments where there'll be a schedule. You'll understand when those days are. And it'll be less physical days of the year that cars are going to be out there making all that noise. Why would you not want that?
Right. It's going to reduce the number of days.
It's going to have some uniform. Mm. All that is stuff that if I was a resident, I would want. Okay? If the track's going to be there and there's going to be noise, okay, give me a schedule and less days where there's noise and give me big sound barriers where the noise is even less bothersome.
There you go. Dale Earnhardt Jr. on the Dale Jr. Download explaining kind of the plan that SMI has in place. And I feel like if you're a resident over there and you're concerned about all the noise, all those things, you want them running it because it's going to help that. You're going to reduce track time, reduce the noise. So I think it's a good thing. But again, if you disagree, I totally understand. You're entitled to your opinion with everything. And I'm always here to have a conversation if you are so interested. Real quick, we'll skip the intro. We'll get to Sunday money for Dover for the Drydene 400. The favorite, all the odds from BetMGM, is Martin Truex Jr. He is plus 350, but my favorite is Kyle Larson at plus 450. I think that he's really good here, and he's going to add a win. He's got one. He's going to get another one this weekend. Kevin Harvick, also good here, plus 700 from BetMGM. Kyle Busch, plus 800. Kyle Busch starting to come on the last few weeks, and he's won here in the past as well. And then the wild card, the long shot at plus 1,400, Brad Keselowski. So there you go. We'll tweet those out as well. This has been a fast flying show. Appreciate Dover for having us this weekend. We'll have all sorts of things on the podcast as well. And we'll be back at it at 9 o'clock next week on ESPN 102.5 The Game.